From then Jesus began to preach and to say, "Repent, for the kingdom of the heavens is near." These words, "Repent, for the kingdom of the heavens is near," are the gospel, the good news of the Lord's first coming. Heaven is near because the Lord God Himself is with us. Therefore, we can repent of our evils and move from selfishness to becoming good citizens of the kingdom of the heavens. The Lord teaches us what repentance is in the Old Testament. For example, in the first chapter of Isaiah, "Bathe, purify yourselves, remove the evils of your doings from before my eyes. Cease to do evil, learn to do good. Seek judgment, relieve the oppressed, judge the orphan, plead for the widow. Go now and let us dispute together, says Yehovah. Though your sins be as scarlet twice dyed, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be like wool." In the New Testament, John the Baptist gave us examples of repentance. And the crowds asked him, saying, "What then shall we do?" And he answering says to them, "He who has two tunics, let him share with him who has none. And he who has food, let him do likewise." And the publicans also came to be baptized and said to him, "Teacher, what shall we do?" And he said to them, "Exact no more than that which is ordered you." And the soldiers also asked him, saying, "And what shall we do?" And he said to them, "Do violence to no one, nor accuse anyone falsely, and be content with your wages." And in the heavenly doctrine, the Lord lays out the steps of repentance for us to follow. He must examine himself, recognize and acknowledge his sins, pray to the Lord, and begin a new life. These steps are the way to heaven, as we read. If at recurring seasons there is actual repentance, as often, for instance, as a man prepares for the communion of the Holy Supper, and if he afterwards abstains from one or another sin which he then discovers in himself, this is sufficient to initiate him into the actuality of repentance. And when he is in that, he is on the way to heaven. For then, from being natural, he begins to become spiritual and to be born anew from the Lord. The days of creation are a picture of the steps or stages of being born anew or created anew, from being worldly to becoming spiritual, truly human beings. We read, "The first state is that which precedes, including both the state from infancy and that immediately before regeneration. This is called a void, emptiness, and thick darkness. And the first motion, which is the Lord's mercy, is the Spirit of God moving upon the faces of the waters. The first state is when the man begins to know that the good and the true are something higher. When man is conceived anew, he then begins for the first time to know that his goods are not goods, and also, as he comes more into the light, that the Lord is, and that he is good and truth itself. The first day is when a man begins to believe in the Lord as an adult, and to see that what he instinctively craves is not good, but that the Lord can lead him into what is truly good. He is willing for the Lord to say, "Let there be light," and to begin to distinguish the light from the darkness within him. On the second day, God created an expanse or sky, distinguishing the waters above from the waters beneath. The second stage of regeneration is allowing the Lord to distinguish within us the internal man from the external man, or our conscience from our natural inclinations. We read, "In order that man may examine himself, an understanding has been given him, and this separate from the will, so that he may know, understand and acknowledge what is good and what is evil. And also, he may see the quality of his will, the quality of what he wants, or what it is that he loves and desires. In order that he may see this, his understanding has been furnished with higher and lower thought, or inner and outer thought, to enable him to see from higher or inner thought what his will is doing in the lower or outer thought. He sees this as a man sees his face in a mirror, and when he sees it and knows what sin is, he is able, if he implores the help of the Lord, not to will it, but to shun it, and afterwards to act against it. If not wholeheartedly, still he can exercise constraint upon it by struggle, and at length turn away from it and hate it. True Christian religion says, there are many means by which man, as he progresses in his early years, is prepared for the church and introduced to it, but the means by which the church is established in man are acts of repentance. Acts of repentance are all such things as cause man not to will and consequently not to commit evils, which are sins against God. So we come to the third day, which represents repentance itself. Now the Lord gathers together the truths a person has learned, ready to be used to water the dry land so that something may grow from it. We are told the third state is that of repentance. In it, the man, from his internal man, speaks piously and devoutly and brings forth good things like works of charity. These good things are called the tender herb, and also the herb seeding seed, and afterwards the tree bearing fruit. John the Baptist also illustrated repentance by a fruit tree in his warning, and now also the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bring forth good fruit is cut down and cast into the fire. The tender herb suggests the beginning of humility, the willingness to let the Lord guide us in exploring ourselves, to fish out one or another bad habit or intention. The herb seeding seed suggests how once we make a beginning in actual repentance, it comes more easily. One insight leads to another, like plants seeding themselves and spreading. And these seeds in turn bear fruit in less hurtful and more useful ways of life. We read, "He who lives the life of charity and faith does the work of repentance daily. He reflects on the evils that are with him. He acknowledges them. He guards against them. He supplicates the Lord for help." The doctrine makes clear that the third day, the state of repentance, is just a beginning on the way to heaven. The works a person does in this stage are called inanimate, just like plants compared with animals and human beings. The reason is that at this time, we cannot help but think these good works are from ourselves. We take some pride in our strenuous efforts at self-control, self-examination, recognizing and acknowledging our sins, praying to the Lord, and then struggling to restrain ourselves from carrying out our old bad habits, instead living a new life. We feel we deserve some credit, and we wish others to know and acknowledge our improvements. So there is a need for further days of creation following this. But the wonderful thing is that under the Lord's leading, we have made a start. And then the following days can come, if not in this life, then in the spiritual world. We are on the way to heaven. This is the message of the Holy Supper, as we read. The truth is that the man who looks to the Lord and performs repentance is conjoined with the Lord by means of that most holy sacrament and is introduced into heaven. For material bread and heavenly bread correspond mutually to each other, and so do material wine and heavenly wine. And heavenly bread is the holy of love, and heavenly wine is the holy of faith, both from the Lord in both being the Lord. Thence there is a conjunction of the Lord with man, and of man with the Lord, not with the bread and wine, but with the love and faith of the man who had done the work of repentance. And conjunction with the Lord is also introduction into heaven. So let us hear the words of our Lord. And Jesus came into Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe in the gospel." Amen.